Chapter 32. I've always thought better with a pencil in my hand. I had just written the label, Suspects, on a sheet of paper, when my brass door knocker echoed through the house. Ulysses rose to his feet, a low growl in his throat. "It's all right, Ulysses," I told him. "Come along with me and we'll see who's here." Peeking out the window, I saw Ken Riley standing on my front porch. He was dressed in jeans, a denim jacket, scuffed boots, and a Western hat. His shoulders slumped. He looked tired. "Ken," I cried, pulling open the door and staring at him. "Where on earth have you been? Did you know Cade and the sheriff and everybody are looking for you? Why did you run away? Why are you here? What's going on?" He grinned sheepishly. "Hi there, Ned. I didn't run away, but may I come in and explain?" For a moment, I stood staring at him while a dozen thoughts raced through my mind. Why hadn't he gone straight to Cade? Why come to me? And why had he popped up the day after Myra's murder? Should I let him in? Ulysses sniffed Ken's jeans, his tail tentatively wagging. All right. Ulysses was not afraid, and neither was I. Ken had always seemed honest to me, a trustworthy person. "Sure," I said. "Come in, but this had better be good." He stepped inside, removed his hat, looked around at the entry with its old-fashioned furnishings, and gave a low whistle. "So this is what Javin's house looks like," he said softly. "Quite a place." "It is," I agreed. "Come to the kitchen, and I'll get you a cup of coffee." I motioned for him to sit down at the table and poured a cup of coffee for him and another for myself. Ulysses lay down on the floor under the table. Ken quickly drained his cup. "Thanks," he said. "I've been driving a while. It's a long trip from Kentucky." Ken had a lot of things to clear up, and directness, as my mama used to say, is a virtue. "Did you know Myra died yesterday?" I asked. He blinked, shock widening his eyes. "Myra? No. Why? How? Don't tell me she was murdered." I nodded. "Yes, in the same way as was Miss Evangeline." He sat for a moment, digesting this news. Drawing a long breath, he said, "At least I can't be blamed for that. I was on the road last night. I stopped to fill the truck with gas somewhere. I'm sure I kept the receipt." "Good. If you just had told the sheriff or Cade everything about Miss Evangeline's death at first, you wouldn't be a suspect now. But you didn't tell them she was alive when you found her, or that you turned her over. You didn't try to get help. And then you took off. That made you look guilty." "I don't know why I didn't tell them right away," he said. "I guess, since I found her, I was afraid it'd look bad for me. But I just made things worse." "You did," I agreed. "Why did you run away, Ken? You said you went to Kentucky. Why? And why did you come back?" He stared at his cup, turning it around and around. Without looking up, he said, "I went home. I told you my dad is dead and Mom is in a nursing facility with Alzheimer's. Sometimes Mom doesn't know who I am, nor who she is, for that matter. And sometimes her mind is as clear as a bell. I needed to talk to her. I've had my suspicions for a long time, and I wanted some honest answers." "Okay. So he went home to Kentucky. I could understand the need to go home, to connect with loved ones. I had felt the same way when I made the trek from Georgia to Oklahoma, when Uncle Javin asked me to come. He was my last living relative, but he died a few minutes after I got there. However, Ken could have chosen a more judicious time to make that trip." He took a long, white envelope from his jacket's pocket and handed it to me. "Read this," he said. "It'll explain a lot." "What is it?" I asked, pulling a legal-looking document out of the envelope. "Just read it," Ken said. It was a birth certificate. I read it, and read it again. This was too much to take in. I gave it back to Ken and stared at him for a moment, stunned to the core. I would never have guessed Miss Evangeline's secret. "You were adopted?" I whispered. Your birth parents were Miss Evangeline Carver and Javin Granger? He nodded, refolded the certificate, and slid it back into the envelope. You do believe this birth certificate is the real thing, don't you? He asked. I swallowed a gulp of coffee, choked, and coughed into my napkin. I suppose I'll have to, won't I? Right now I'm in a state of shock, Ken. Please explain. During one of her lucid moments, Mom told me the story. She and Miss Evangeline had been friends when they were young. When Miss Evangeline wound up in trouble, as Mom put it, her father, Judson, was scandalized. He made her go away to have her baby, me, and give me up for adoption. Mom and Dad were childless, and they agreed to take me. Miss Evangeline kept up with me through the years, sending money for college and a lot of extras. Then, when Mom went into the home, Miss Evangeline asked me to come and work on the farm. He gazed through my kitchen window. I always wondered why I got such a generous salary for my work. I guess now I know. Why hadn't I seen it before? His resemblance to my uncle. His head shape, his eyes, all were pure Javin Granger. But why didn't my uncle claim you? I asked. It just doesn't sound like him to shirk his responsibility. I'd have thought he would be so proud of you, and surely he would have married Miss Evangeline. Ken shook his head. Mom said he didn't know. And Judson, my grandfather, didn't want the family name connected to somebody who was accused of murder. It seems Javin went to the penitentiary before I was born. Tears flooded my eyes. That means we're cousins. I thought I didn't have any family left, and suddenly here you are. I slid from my chair and came around the table to stand by him. He stood up, put his arms around me, and I gave my newfound family a tight hug. Hi, cousin, he said. I'm sorry that I seem to be following in Javin's footsteps, accused of murder just as he was. Wiping my eyes, I said, But you are innocent, and I am going to prove you are. Ken, do you realize that this house should rightfully be yours? What? Do you mean Granger Mansion? He asked, gazing around the kitchen. I do. You're Javin's son. He laughed. And you are goofy if you think I want your home. I'm sure you have a deed, and somebody told me Javin willed the whole thing to you. I sure don't want to go into a court battle to take away your home. It's yours. I don't want it. With shaking hands, I refilled our cups. As Miss Evangeline's son, you are the heir to a whole lot more than Granger Mansion. The whole Carver estate should be yours. And do you realize what that means? He asked. It means I would have a pretty good motive for doing away with the estate's owner. I'm afraid, Ned, that birth certificate just makes me look guiltier than ever. There's something else, I said quietly. The birth certificate is like a bullseye on your back. Miss Evangeline's cousins are expecting to inherit the estate. They believe they are the next of kin. Now, whether one of them is a murderer or not, when they find out you are her son, they might be quite willing to take out the competition. You. And that's why I'm asking you to keep this news to yourself, Ken said. I'll show the birth certificate to Cade, but I don't want him or his sidekick to make it general knowledge. I nodded. That's the best, at least for now.